Morning, stay standing if you will. Grab your Bibles and go to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. It's right after 1 Corinthians.
No.
2 Corinthians chapter number 1. We'll read verses 3 through verse number 11 responsively this morning. I'll read verse number 3. You'll join me on verse number 4, and we'll read all the way through verse number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 3, the Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is also and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we were despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which also raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us." And let's finish on verse number 11 together. "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for being with us here yesterday. Lord, the comfort that you brought, Lord, both into the family and our church. Lord, we thank you for heaven this morning. Lord, there's many here even in this room today have a heavy heart. There's burdens weighing on many lives. Lord, there's some not here because they're not feeling well. We'd ask that you'd strengthen them, that you'd heal them. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in. Lord, we woke up this morning in awe of the God that you've been to us and how you've taken care of us and how you've been here for us every step of the way. Thank you for the Word of God, the promises we find in its pages. Be with our pastor this morning as he preaches. Please fill him with your Holy Spirit's power. Do what we cannot do here this morning. Comfort, guide, strengthen, Lord, and convict where necessary. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Our church has been through a lot in recent weeks. I know personally of 5 deaths in the last 5 weeks. Actually 6 deaths, yes. And then I've dealt with several other deaths around the country of friends that I know and family members of friends that I know, other issues and tragedies and near tragedies. This is just a tougher time of year. Good night. Y'all need to quit dying. I've had enough funerals. I don't need any more, all right? But life has a hardness to it, and all of it has to do with us being sinners. Let me make a statement here. Most people have this idea that life is supposed to be easy and problem-free. If you're over the age of 25, you know that's not true. That all ended because of one word, sin. We cannot blame God for the results of sin. I get a little weary of people saying, "Well, God did this and God didn't control your sin. God's not in charge of what you don't give him control of." because of pain and sickness and death and problems and financial opportunities. This is all due to sin. We humans tend to want and need something called comfort. Folks, you're not going to get out of life without problems. I hate to disappoint you. You say, well, how come God allows all these problems? How about all of your sin? In the sum total of all the sins of everybody around you and around the world and in our government and in our governments. Lord, that's enough to take care of everything for eternity. Man, left to himself, though, seeks comfort in many of the wrong ways, in many of the wrong places. People turn to alcohol, drugs, food. I know that one hurt. Other miserable sinners and psychology that is less than worthless. Man also seeks perversion, shopping. Some of you call that retail therapy. Amusement for comfort. Man, amen, Miss Loretta. I'm having a bad day, preacher. I'm going to go spend money. All right. Man even does something as dumb as what I call group therapy, where everybody with the same problem gets in the same room and talks about the same thing to get everybody depressed about the same thing that they're all down about. May I say something? Putting you in the same room with other people that are in the same problem you're in isn't going to help you. You need somebody that knows how to get out of the problem that hasn't been in the problem in the first place. Well, I need somebody that really understands how I feel. No, you don't. You need the truth of the Word of God to beat you over the head and say, thus saith the Lord. Amen. I get a little tired of people saying, well, I can't go to preacher. He doesn't understand. I probably understand more than you think. Did you know that I don't have to get drunk to figure out how to help you in your drunkenness? Matter of fact, maybe you ought to talk to somebody that's never been drunk to keep you out of drunkenness. And I'm not preaching to everybody. And I think I said to somebody today, I'm thankful if somebody gets help no matter where they get it. But I happen to know what the best help is and where the best comfort is. Sin is not a sickness or a disease. Let me say that again. Sin is not a sickness nor a disease. It is a choice by man. I'm going to be very unpolitically correct. Alcoholism and drug addiction is not sickness. If it is, it's the only sickness you pour down your throat or push in your veins. You don't go out and get a bottle of vomit and drink it so you can get the flu. Say, preacher, that's gross. Then don't call alcoholism a sickness. Sorry. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang on there. Cancer, that's sickness. That's disease. But you don't go out and get a box of cancer and take the pills and overdose on cancer. I don't care what the world says. Do you know why the world calls it a sickness? Because they don't know how to deal with it according to God. Everybody doing all right? A sickness is caught or genetic. It's not purchased and pumped into your body by yourself. People even seek comfort in casinos, which makes no sense to me, in bars or in nightclubs. These places all only create more problems. They don't bring comfort. Man seeks comfort in food and tries to eat himself into feeling better. Well, this is just comfort food, preacher. Folks, can I tell you something? If you can poke the pie hole and it stays down, it's comfortable, amen? There ain't no such thing as comfort food, especially when you can't taste. It's just food, amen? Now, wait a minute. How silly we are. We even have people that try to sleep themselves into comfort. Did you know you can't sleep enough to find comfort? I just happen to believe that the creator of man has a better idea of how we should be comforted than some other sinful man does. I just happen to believe and trust the perfect, sinless God who created us, happens to know more about comfort than some other dirty, filthy, rotten, no good, scum of the earth sinner like me. I happen to believe that God and the words of God are far better than any mental health official.
Amen.
How about we take a look at what God says about comfort? How about we seek comfort the way the Creator told us to get it? Now, let me help you with something. I know this. There's not a person under the sound of my voice that hasn't been through problems in the last 30 days. I guarantee it. Our church has faced multiple deaths. Some of you, it was in your own personal family. We have faced financial difficulties. We've faced bad news. I could go on and on and on, whether it's trips to the hospice, the hospital, or to the funeral home. Whether it's financial difficulties, whether it's bad news about somebody breaking your heart, or whether it's just the fact that you got up and had to look at yourself in the mirror.
Amen.
I get it. Bad news everywhere. How about we take a look at what God says about comfort? Now, how about we not worry about what the world is taught?
Amen.
Can I tell you something? Whatever the world teaches, if you believe the opposite, you're going to come closer to believing what God says. This idiot in Pennsylvania, head of a school board, got up and said, "Well, I'm tired of parents saying that they pay my salary. I don't answer to the parents." You say, "Well, preacher, how does that happen?" I'll tell you how that happens. They've taught humanism so long that now the people that run the school system have become their own God. I hate to tell you this. If everybody quit paying their taxes and he didn't get a paycheck, he'd find out who his boss really is. And somebody ought to make him understand that. Now, I happen to know something. When God says it, it will work. There used to be a statement out, oh my soul, many, 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 many years ago, back in the 70s. Shut up. Years ago, there used to be a statement out, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." Can I tell you something? God said it, that settles it. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. I just happen to believe that. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Man does not have to believe the word of God, but the word of God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar.
Amen.
So let's look at this subject of comfort for a little while. Number one, what is comfort? Man says it is making me feel better, or taking my pain away, or soothing my hurt. Man says comfort is making me feel better, taking my pain away, or soothing what pain I have. But that is not what the word comfort is scripturally. The word comfort is the word paraclete. All right, not parakeet, paraclete. Not a little bird that annoys you, but and there's not, you'd have to have about 300 of them to make a good meal, amen? The word paraclete means one who runs to assist you at your side. It means an advocate, or one who pleads the cause on someone else's behalf. In other words, comfort is when you're hurting, someone comes to your side and assists you. Someone runs to your side to help you. It does not say they take it away. Comfort is not something you go in search for on your own. Comfort is something that comes to you. You don't go to it. Now, let me make a couple statements here. This is going to hurt, all right? Get your guard up. You ready? Here we go. Bless you. That hurt too. When you go seeking for comfort, You're seeking pity, not comfort. You seek pity. Comfort comes to you. Comfort is not you handling it your way. Comfort is when someone comes and helps you carry it along the way. You see, seeking pity means this. You call everybody and tell them how bad you feel. You call everybody to tell them how you're hurting. And you want their pity. You want their oohs and their ahs and their I'm so sorry for you and what can I do and all those things. That is you searching for something, but true comfort you don't look for. True comfort comes to you.
Amen.
Take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 again. Look at verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, watch this, and the God of all comfort. How much comfort? Oh, I guess that means in any problem or any difficulty you have, God would be enough, right? Look at verse number 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Notice the word all. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Look at verse number 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. The word consolation is the same word as comfort. Consoling. Comforting. Isn't it? We read this yesterday at the homegoing for Anne. Psalm 23, verse number 4 says this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they what? Comfort me. Ooh. So comfort comes to you. You don't seek it. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Now I'm going to show you something here that I'll guarantee most of you have never put together, but I promise you it is as scriptural as it comes. Look at Matthew chapter 11, look at verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are what? Heavy laden. Look at me. When you're heavy laden, that doesn't sound like everything's going well, right? Sounds like a time where you might need help or comfort. Watch this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can I tell you how God says you get through a problem? What happens is this. Brother Josh, I'm going to need you for a second. Here's Brother Josh. He has a problem. He's married and his wife left him for a week to go to Florida. He has a problem. Now, wait a minute. It doesn't say you call everybody in the church and say, I've got this problem. What are you going to do to help me? That's the way a lot of people search for help. Or it doesn't mean you go to the bar and get drunk. Or it doesn't mean that you go searching for it in some other way, finding all the other men whose wives aren't here and you get together and cry about it. All right? That is definitely... anyway. God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Notice the very next statement. Take my yoke upon you. A yoke is for work. A yoke means this. That is a piece, a harness, and that's a crude analogy. But it connects two animals together to pull the load together. God says, look, when you're needing comfort, come to me. I'll yoke up with you and I'll help you pull the load, but he's not taking the load away. Thank you. You can have a seat. Here's what the average preacher and the average Christian thinks. I've got a problem. The preacher preaches, I'm going to go to the altar. I'll leave my problem there and I go back to my chair. That's where you're wrong. Brother Scott, you can't leave your problem that your mama passed away at the altar. Because when you leave the altar, she's still in heaven. Brother James, Miss Lily's still there. The hole in your heart's still there. Oh, you can go to the altar every day if you want, but it doesn't take that hole in your heart away. Miss Loretta, Brother Jimbo's not there for you to yell at anymore. So yell at me instead. can I tell you something? I don't care what your burden is. You can bring it to the Lord. There's a song, bring it to the Lord and leave it there. That's not what he wants. He wants you to bring it to the Lord, and he'll help you once you get back up. He'll help you pull the load.
Amen.
You come here to yoke up with him so that when you get back up, you're pulling with him. You're not pulling by yourself. God says that's what real comfort is.
Amen.
Comfort is someone who will help pull the load with you. It is not someone who will take the problem away. You'll hear me say this often. If you've been here in the last 6 weeks, you've heard me say it. There are times as your pastor, I will fail as a human being because I can't take the problem away. But I happen to know who we can go to help us pull it. Brother James, I felt bad as your pastor because I couldn't help you. I couldn't fix Miss Lily. Brother Scott, how many hours we sat beside your mama and I said, Brother Scott, I'm sorry, I can't help you like I should. Miss Loretta, you heard me say it over and over and over again. But I've heard all these people say, but preacher, you were there. Yeah, we pulled it together.
Amen.
We'll pull the load together. I can't fix it, but we can pull the load together. We'll get through this together. And may I say something? That's where real comfort is. Real comfort is not, we'll just bring it to the Lord. We'll leave it there and let God take care of it. God didn't create it. Why are you going to throw it at him? You see, real comfort is not getting rid of the problem. It's someone who comes to your side to help pull the load with you.
Amen.
You hear me often as our people go through problems teach you. Say why? Because nobody's teaching it anymore. You've heard me say when someone passes away, the worst thing for you to say is, how you doing? Folks, please pardon my redneckishness, but that's a dumb question. How do you think they're doing? How would you be doing? That's not a good... We sat with the funeral director this week, and Scott and I, he said, you know, that really is a dumb question, Pastor. I said, yeah, it is. He said, I learned that early on. You don't say that. He said, I didn't realize how bad that sounded till somebody corrected me. He said, so now I say, how you doing under the circumstances you're in? I said, well, I even go better than that. I just say, what can I do to help you? You know, when we quit asking, you know, there are some people you don't want to ask that question to because they're going to tell you. But even if you knew how they were doing, it doesn't matter. It's better to say, what can we do to help you? How can I bring comfort? It's how can I help you? I'll come to your side, and what can I do to help the situation? By the way, I'll get to that in a second. I'm getting to the end, and I know what's coming, and I want to give it to you, but it's not yet. So, first of all, what is comfort? Comfort is not taking the problem away. Comfort is someone who will come to your side and assist you and help you pull the load. It doesn't matter what your heartache. Please listen to this. I don't mean this to sound as arrogant as it probably is going to come out. But you're looking at a man who has spent the last 41 years of his life trying to help people with problems. I'll guarantee you don't have a problem I haven't helped many other people with the same problem. Not a one. I haven't faced a new problem in an awfully long time. Not a one. Now, it's usually a new situation, but you help people for 41 years at the level I have, you can't tell me something I hadn't heard. I'll guarantee it. Now, it's rare, but it does happen, but it's very, very, very rare. You're looking at somebody that understands how to pull the load with you. I don't care if you've been forsaken by a spouse, your children have broken your heart, or you're a child, your parents have broken your heart. I don't care if it's senior citizens going through the difficulties they go through. I don't care if it's young people going through the problems they go through. I don't care if it's newly married people. I don't care if it's the loss of a baby. I don't care if it's the loss of a born child. Hey, I've seen it all. I have seen it all. And even if I haven't, I happen to know a God who has. And he gave us a Bible, and I've studied it enough to be able to say, here's how we're going to get through this. Here's how we're going to get through this. Say, well, preacher, I don't always like what you have to say. Folks, I don't like some of the things the doctor tells me to do every once in a while. But it is for my best. Everybody doing okay? Did you ever take cough medicine? Why in the world they make that the nastiest tasting stuff in the world? Probably to make you so you don't want to cough anymore. I don't know that it actually works, but you never want to have to take it more than once or twice because it tastes so bad. Now, wait a minute. I can't promise you to take the problem away. I was talking to Brianna Guy, whose little two-year-old son has got cancer down in Georgia. I was texting back and forth with her yesterday. And she sent me a picture of Braden sitting in his bed. He wanted a donut. He's got a donut, and he's looking at his mom like this. She said, smile, and he goes. I said, I love it. He's full of pee and vinegar. He's going through round six of chemo and getting ready to start immunotherapy and all this stuff. That poor little kid, he's tougher than a knot, let me tell you. I'm glad he's that tough because that's the only thing going to get him to survive. But I said something to her. I said, you know, for all he's been through, he doesn't look sickly. She said, Brother Bush, how do you see that in one picture? I said, looking in his eyes. I said, I know he's had 3 days of chemo, but you can't tell it by looking in his eyes. I said, and I know what to look for. She said, everybody sees that he doesn't have hair, and that's what they pay attention to, but you look deeper, don't you? I said, I do. I can look at somebody and tell when they have a heartache. I can look at somebody, and you don't have to say a word. I know you're hurting. I saw Brother Steve walking up to the church building this morning. As soon as he got to me, I said, you had a bad night, and you're hurting, aren't you? He said, yeah, Chris hit me in the head with another pan. now, wait a minute. I know when people are heavy-hearted. I stood here yesterday and preached the homegoing service for your mom. I saw people with heavy hearts. But we laughed. We had a little bit of sadness. But we laughed a lot. You say, why? As I said yesterday, Ann's smile was infectious. That was a lady that knew how to smile. She could light up a room. Or, as I said yesterday, she was strength and beauty. She could chew you up and spit you out in one sentence and say, I love you in the other, mean it both times. Say, what was that? We enjoyed. By the way, I saw people that hadn't been in church in decades who left this church yesterday comforted. Say, why? Because I didn't take the problem away, but I helped them pull the load. I got in the harness with them and pulled a little while. And I happen to know a couple of them are pretty ornery. Not just Scott. That honestly, it wouldn't have been their first choice to come to a church for homegoing service. But by the time they walked out, they were thanking me. They were saying, boy, am I glad we had it here. Say, what is that? That's called comfort, because I didn't try to take the problem away. I just tried to help pull the load with them. Teach them how to pull the load. That's what comfort is. Number two, I love this. You're not going to like this step of it, but hang on. You have to suffer in order to need comfort. You have to suffer in order to need comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. Notice the word sufferings there. Verse 6. And whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual, enduring the same what? Sufferings, which we also suffer. Verse number 7. And our hope is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings. Do you know you don't get comfort till you suffered first? You have to face suffering in order to need comfort. But what is suffering? Glad you asked. I'm not real big on, well, in the Greek or in the Hebrew it says this, but we in the English language have very general words in comparison to the Greek and the Hebrew. The Greek and the Hebrew might have five different words for what we use for one word. They have five different words. But here, the word suffering is the word Pascal, P-A-S-C-A-L. It comes from, if you knew the Jewish religion or different things, the Passover lamb is called the Paschal lamb. It is literally in reference to the lamb at Passover. Watch this. It is the suffering the lamb goes through to give someone else the redemption they need. It is the suffering of someone else. It was inflicted on someone else so that you could have comfort. Now watch this. It's what Jesus did for us. He took on him the suffering, Isaiah 53. He took on him the suffering so that we could have the comfort of knowing we didn't have to die and go to hell. But it still had to be suffered for. Suffering is hurt, affliction, evil, or anguish placed on you for someone else. Again, I'm not trying to be vain. But it's, Brother James, the day you called me to say Miss Lily was approaching heaven. I tried to take on me some of the suffering. Brother Scott, when your mama got bad. Tried to take on me some of the suffering to help comfort them. Miss Loretta, Brother Jimbo, those last days, especially that last day. And she had a lot more suffering going on because of other issues. But I was able to help her carry the load a little bit. And many of you, we've been through those suffering times together. What is that? I try to take on me your pain and your anguish and try to help you carry the load. That's what real comfort is. Please don't take this the wrong way. Comfort isn't you calling somebody and spilling your guts to them and them saying, oh, poor baby, come here, let me burp you. We love you. Yeah, but what are you doing to help me carry it? Well, I just need a sounding board, preacher. That's what you got a God for. I hate to tell you something. I don't tell people when I hurt. I take it to God, and he helps me. It's not your job to carry my load. It's my job to help you carry your load. That's what my job description is. It is my job to help you. Now, wait a minute. I have heartaches. I have burdens. I have family members. We have problems, too. Good night. I've got Brother Josh. wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Yeah, we have heartaches and burdens like everybody else does, but this preacher isn't supposed to get up and tell you all your heartaches, because guess what? You need me here strong enough to help you carry yours. Now, if there's something I need for you to do to help, I'm not afraid of that. But I hate to tell you something. I'm not going to get up here and say, oh, feel sorry for me. This has been a real bad time. I've just been so busy that I can't do this. Hogwash. I know I probably shouldn't say this. Brother Harry, I'm probably going to get in trouble for this one, but I don't give a rip. I am so tired of my generation of preachers and the generation just before me who get tired and resign or take leaves of absences. Who ever heard of a pastor retiring? Good night. The old preachers, man, they didn't retire. They retreaded. Some of them got tired and became pastor emeritus. Okay, but they stayed in the fight. I get it. I want to die with my boots on in the pulpit. Amen. Well, not necessarily in the pulpit, but while I'm still preaching. I've had friends that I thought were going to kill me while I was doing it, but I get a little weary of preachers who get up, well, I'm just so tired. I got to quit my church. Can I tell you what that means? They don't walk with God enough to carry the load. They're carrying the load. See, preacher, how do you handle it all? I have somebody to help me carry the load. I really do. Oh, I didn't say there weren't heavy days. Yesterday was a heavy day. I've had a heavy few weeks. I told my wife, I was exhausted yesterday afternoon. We left, we had the funeral yesterday morning. I was here by 5 o'clock or so yesterday morning. Got here, we had the memorial service yesterday, then the Krauses had a party, and we went over there and partied for a while, watched Brother Mike dance on the table, Miss Arlene, and we had a good time, and I just looked at my wife, I said, man, we got to go, I am whooped. I was exhausted mentally. It's been, and I can't even tell you some of the things I've helped carry in the last couple of weeks. I got home, she said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to sit here for about 20 minutes. And then I think I'm going to take my gun for a walk. She said, but you're tired. I said, I know, but I just need to get out and clear my head. Me and God in the woods can do an awful lot. So after about 20 minutes, I got up, put my boots on, and got my hunting clothes on, and grabbed a gun and some shells. Drove down to the woods. Got out. I hadn't walked 60 seconds, and guess what? Bugs Bunny come running by. And Elmer Fudd got him. I looked up at God and said, thank you, God. Me and God started talking for a while. Went a little while later and shot a couple squirrels, and me and God were having a good time talking. I unloaded on God, and he said, well, son, I'm here to help you. Quit asking somebody else, just ask me. We talked a long time. I was coming back up the hill, coming back out where I shot the first rabbit. Brother Larry, God said, hey, stupid, usually rabbits aren't by themselves. Remember that? Yeah. So I said, Lord, I wonder if there's another one up here. I hadn't taken 5 steps, and there he goes. Well, guess what? I got him. Say, oh, poor widow thing. Yeah, that's going to taste great. Amen. Just like chicken, dark meat. Amen? Right. Nothing better. I'd rather have fresh rabbit than anything. Now, wait a minute. He said, oh, preacher, I can't believe. You could ask my wife. When I walked back through the door, I was having a good old time. It wasn't the game that I took. It was the time in the woods with God. It was just me and God talking through things. I can't tell you how many tears I cried about people in this room and your heartaches and your burdens. And I said, God, sometimes I feel so weak. Sometimes I don't think I know enough to help them. And he says, as long as you keep coming to me, you'll do okay. Isn't that my job? You say, well, preacher, I just don't want to bother you. You bother me when you don't bother me. Ruth Ann was to fly to Miami last night and see her family for a few days. They got 20 minutes from the airport and they delayed her flight for a few hours. She was supposed to land in Miami about 10:15, 10:30. She didn't even take off till almost 11 o'clock last night. And I texted her a couple times and I said, do me a favor, text me when you get in. She said, Dad, it's going to be late. We're talking 1:30. I said, I don't care. I'm not going to rest till I hear my phone. And about 1:25, the plane hadn't even stopped at the runway, and she texted me. She said, we just hit the ground, Dad. And I looked at the clock, and I thought, she's safe. That's all that matters. Got a few hours of rest and got up. What is that? That's what you do. You suffer. I'm going to make a statement here. You don't get comfort unless you suffer. But you only get the comfort necessary for the depth of suffering you're going through. You're not going to get an abundance of comfort. You get it as you need it. It's kind of like grace. Needing grace really stinks. But when you get it, it sure is sweet. You don't get it before you need it, though. There's days you wonder, God, are you going to pull through this? Yes, I will. You don't seek or look for comfort. It comes to you. You seek pity. You seek attention. Comfort runs to your side when you need it most. I have to say it. Last Saturday afternoon, Ann was at the hospice. My wife and I had been there. I had left. And just within an hour or so, Ann took a turn. And Brother Scott texted me and said, preacher, Mom needs you. She's having troubles breathing. What did I do? I ran to her side. She kept saying, how do I do this, preacher? How do I do this? You mean, how do you do what? Die. And she knew as long as preacher was there, everything's okay. She just needed that assurance. Now, she wasn't dying. She was going to heaven. She was passing from death to life, not from life to death. It's not as spooky as you think it is. But you only get the comfort you need based on the depth of suffering you're going through. May I say something? You're not going to have an abundance of comfort. But I promise you, when you need it, it'll be there. Number three, and I'm about to shout. God is the source of all comfort. For 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3, the last statement there, the God of all comfort. Can I tell you something? Oprah is not the God of all comfort. Dr. Phil doesn't have the corner on comfort.
Nope.
I'm not sure he has the corner on anything. Turn to John chapter 14. I'm going to share a couple verses with you here out of the book of John. John chapter 14, look at verse number 16. John chapter 14, verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another, what's the next word? Comforter. Notice that it's a capital C. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Can I tell you who that comforter is? Look at verse number 26. But the comforter, capital C, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Can I tell you something? The moment the person who trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit moves in and he is the comforter of God. The disciples were upset saying, look, Jesus, you're going to leave us and we're going to be here by ourselves. And he said, oh no. He said, the Father will send another comforter in my name. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And he is the Holy Spirit of truth. Look at John chapter 15, verse number 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you shall also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Look at John chapter 16, verse number 7. John chapter 16, verse number 7. Bible says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Did you notice? The disciples said, Lord, we don't want you to leave. And he said, you're going to have to suffer in order for me to send the Comforter. You have to go through suffering, but I'll send the Comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit. Miss Loretta, Brother Jimbo's funeral was tough on me. He was my buddy. But I remember the last thing I said in my office before I walked out. I said, God, I can't do this. But you could do it through me. I've done all I know to do, but you've got to do what I can't do. Brother James, you'll never know how hard it was for my wife and I to be there, Miss Lily's, because it was hard. Now, we knew where she was. But every time I do a funeral, I feel like I fail. Because I can't take the pain away. But the Lord says, it's okay. Go through it with them. Brother Scott, yesterday wasn't easy. Wasn't easy for any of us. But can I tell you something? We had the sweet Holy Spirit. Man, 11 people got saved yesterday. Now that's enough to make a Methodist want to shout. Or a Presbyterian. Or even Episcopalian might even get one up. But can I tell you something? It's not me that brings comfort. It's the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Where do we find comfort? The Holy Spirit. It's given to us at salvation. That's what Psalm 119, verse number 50 and verse 75 talk about. The Holy Spirit is given to us at salvation, and it's the Word of God. Let me read some verses out of Psalm 119 for you. You need not turn there, because you'll not get there as fast as I can. Psalm 119, verse number 50 says this, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Verse number 75 says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in thy faithfulness hast afflicted me. Notice you have the affliction, and then you have the comfort. Now watch this. He can't guide you without the Bible. Notice the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Please let me help you with something. We have in our country for the last 100 years or so, people that, oh, you just got to feel it. You got to feel the Holy Ghost. You'll never see the word feel and Holy Spirit together anywhere in the Scripture. Amen. Never. The Holy Spirit does not work by your feelings. He works by the Word of God. He is the Spirit of truth. When somebody says, well, I just feel the leading of the Holy Spirit to do this, I always say this, show me in the Bible. Amen. Because he can't lead you outside the pages of the Word of God, or he is a liar and he is not God. It's impossible. So we find our comfort through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit leading us through the Word of God. Every funeral I do is different. Every one of them. Because there is just as individual as the person for whom has gone on before us. Brother Jimbo's was much different than Ann's. And Miss Lily's was far different than Miss Ann's. I've got Miss Paula Burton's is done. And I can't wait, honestly. I hate funerals, but I love the truth that God gave me about Paula. I love the one about Ann. I loved the one about Miss Lily. I loved about Brother Jimbo. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? How do I get those? God, I need you. Holy Spirit, guide me. Help me. Help me through thy word. Thy word is truth, O Lord. And it's only through the word of God that I can help people. Amen. It's the only way that I can bring comfort to them. By the way, he can't guide you outside the Word of God. That's why we need to bathe ourselves daily in the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to make a tough statement here. This means comfort cannot be found in any other means on our own. There's no such thing as Southern comfort in alcohol. Never had it, so I don't know whether it's comfortable or not, but I've seen what it does to people and it doesn't look too comfortable. 2 Corinthians 1:9 says this, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised up the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver in whom we trust that he will deliver us. Hey, don't you think the God that could save you can get you through whatever you're suffering through right now? Amen. I get a little weary of people saying, well, I'm just suffering so bad, preacher. I'm upset with God that this happened. And I'm just suffering. I hurt so bad. Well, then look to the word of God and quit looking to yourself. Amen. Quit looking for pity and look for real comfort in the word of God. Amen. By the way, 2 Corinthians 1:4 ought to be the life verse of many people in this room, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Say, how do I find comfort, preacher? You go find somebody else that needs help and go help them. Well, I'm hurting, preacher. Good. You want to learn how to get comfort? Go help somebody else. And when you go help somebody else, guess what? He'll give you the strength to carry your burden. Amen. I wrote this statement down. I want you to hear it very clearly. Don't waste your suffering. Too many people waste their suffering seeking pity. How about we take our suffering and learn how to help somebody else when they're suffering? I love watching it. We got a little club started at our church, kind of unknowingly. But when somebody passes away, those that have just had loved ones pass away, they go to them. It's not a support group. They just know how to run to their side because they know what they're going through. See, what is that?
Comfort.
See, what do they say? Sometimes they don't say anything other than what you need. How can we help? We know what you're facing. Been through it just a couple weeks ago. A couple months ago. Don't waste your suffering on yourself. How about we take what God allows us to go through and help other people along the way? Too many people reject or push away God's comfort, trying to find it on their own. Psalm 77:2, Matthew chapter 2:18, Jeremiah 31:15, all talk about us rejecting the comfort of God. You say, how do we reject the comfort of God? We seek it ourselves. How about we search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life? And as we search the scriptures, the Holy Spirit of God can work through them to give us the help we need. And the Holy Spirit will run to your side and help carry the load. And other Christians will run to your side and help carry the load. And that's exactly how you get comfort. You don't seek it. It comes to you. By the way, don't reject it when it comes. Don't reject it. May I say something? I've said it before. People make bad comforters. Matter of fact, the book of Job says, miserable comforters are you all. People say some stupid things when you're hurting. Everybody going through a problem, you've heard your pastor tell you, forget what people say, just accept that they said something. Let it go right through your head. Because people are going to say some pretty harsh things, and they think they're helping you. They don't mean to hurt you. Okay, they didn't mean it, except that they said something, and let's go on. Huh. Maybe we ought to know for sure we're going to heaven so that we have the comfort of eternity. Maybe we need to quit seeking pity and start seeking comfort through the Word of God and let it come to us. It'll run to our side. That's what the Holy Spirit is. He'll run to your side in that time of need. But remember, you only get comfort when you suffer. You're not going to get it stored up in advance. But once you've been through it, don't waste it. Let's go help somebody else. Let's be like what God wants us to be and run to somebody else's side in their time of need. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who'd say, preacher? Somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens of hands. You may put them down. I'm not asking you to come to the altar to bring your burden. But maybe we ought to come to the altar to seek someone to get in the harness with us and walk away pulling the load together. Maybe there's somebody you need to help pull their load.